This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Good snow day afternoon, everybody. Nice to have you with us on this Tuesday in the nation's capital as we await Snowmageddon. Yeah, that's right. It's coming. It hasn't started out here in Loudoun County just yet, but it looks ominous, to say the least. So please be careful out there. Those of you that were stuck going into the Navy Yard today and all that good stuff, I'm sorry. I apologize. Like AMAC. AMAC is spinning the tunes today and taking care of Doc Walker and myself. And without any further ado, we say good afternoon to Richard Doc Walker. Hello, Doc.
Chris, I'm in good spirits, just waiting here, and I've been commissioned to dig you out and take you wherever you need to be. And right now I've got shovel, gloves, salt, and just waiting.
What about the snowplow, Doc?
Well, again, I've been told that from your vantage point to get you to your next appointment, whether it be a podcast, a personal experience, or a TED Talk, that I'll be able to get through with my four-wheel drive.
All right, so here's the deal, Doc. Before we get started with the actual show, tomorrow morning, I scheduled, for some unbeknownst reason to mankind, a oil change and a tire rotation out here in Loudoun County. So I need you at the homestead at 7:30 with breakfast and hot coffee, okay?
Absolutely.
So that we can dig out and so that we can ride together. And then I'll let you pay, you know, just because that's the kind of guy I am, for my car repairs, okay?
With pleasure. With pleasure.
And then, check this out, right? Then I'm going to need a drive into the show, right? Then, after the show, tomorrow, because maybe not the sort of youngest in charge might be around. I'm not sure. Then I'm going to need you to drive me over to Capital One Arena, because you know what I'm getting ready to do tomorrow night, Doc?
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to go to my first Wizards game of the year, but it's with a caveat. You know who I'm scheduled to talk to tomorrow night? To interview. To sit down with. Your mom and your sister are going to be very, very, very envious. The megastar, L.A. Knight.
L.A. Knight.
Yeah. SmackDown's coming to D.C. on Friday night. So your boy has been invited by World Wrestling Entertainment to come out and meet L.A. Knight tomorrow night and interview him. He'll be making an appearance at the Wizards-Pacers game, doing some stuff to, I'm sure, rally up the crowd and get everybody going. And your boy is going to make the pilgrimage out there. So I just need you to drive me from, you know, South Riding.
Well, why don't you just do your you still got that accommodations at the Four Seasons. Why don't you just stay downtown?
The accommodations. Doc, that was when I was semi-important and we were traveling with the team, right? That's when we were staying at the Four Seasons. Do you remember before we actually get started with the show, do you remember, you might not remember this, but I remember it, that we used to stay outside of downtown St. Louis when we'd go play the Rams?
Oh, yeah. The
about Arch, 20, yeah. 25 minutes outside of downtown St. Louis. Do you remember the reason why or no?
No, I don't remember the reason why. I just knew that it was the vantage point you get to see that arch, which is so prominent. And we were about 20-minute drive from the city.
Yeah, the reason for it, as I was told, is because the Four Seasons in St. Louis, in downtown St. Louis, did not have a cigar bar. But the one that we stayed at, 20 minutes or so outside of downtown St. Louis, did.
Sunny. Yeah.
Well, there was other reasons besides sunny, you know?
I can understand that, but Brother Jurgensen, it had to be. Yeah, one of the that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
St.
So
Louis,
we used to stay at a hotel that far removed from downtown. That was just one city. I mean, but we stayed in some nice Four Seasons. But that was the last time I stayed in Four Seasons because they don't exactly give me the accommodations to financially or any otherwise to stay at a Four Seasons hotel. As a matter of fact, I stayed at a Four Point Sheraton in Philadelphia for the NFC Championship game. How about that? The Four Seasons,
like we're kidding,
but, you know, something.
But so few people have ever been on an itinerary of a professional franchise.
Yeah.
Whether it be hockey, baseball, hoops, that's or whatever. True. Such a small fragment of our listening audience. Yeah. And so we took it for granted. We take it for granted. But not everybody swims in that lake. And it is a unique perspective. And a small piece of your life that you reflect upon, especially when like doing Super Bowls or Final Fours or Stanley Cup Finals, anything that generates 126 million people to put eyes on it.
Mm.
And then you've been through that at any point in your life, puts you in an elite category.
You believe that number, Doc? That 126 people, a million people watched the Super Bowl the other night? I mean, you have data on these things.
They've got a way to trigger it, however it is.
Yeah, however it is.
You know, if they were 123.7 last year, I mean, they're never going to be less.
Yeah, they trigger it, they rig
more.
It, they do a lot of things
there you
to
go.
It, except tell
there
you the
go.
Truth about it. That's
The same people that reported on every gate that we've had, every scandal that we've had, and in the end, it ends up being that they lie about most of it. So it's up to you.
Yeah.
Whatever
you
want to buy into, that's why my philosophy never changes. If it feels good, do it.
It's fair. That's fair in many walks of life. All right, let's get underway here. About 8 minutes past the hour on a Tuesday afternoon. We'll take you up until 4 o'clock. If you want to hop in, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Be nice to AMAC. He's a good guy. He's working hard. He's underappreciated in many different ways, but we appreciate
him. He survived.
Him,
so. What are you talking about? Mm-hmm. He's a tough dude. He survived. I don't call it a pledging or whatever. I tried to break him. It didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, your rooster thing with him. You tried to trick him and embrace him and whatever. Mm. He stood strong, and now he survived it. So
AMAC,
now we start all over again. We're all equal.
AMAC went through a pledge process like we used to do in the world of fraternities. Like,
tried to break.
You know, I was a member. I am a member of Phi Sigma Kappa. So we put the new. I guess the new members through a pledging process, right? You had to earn your keep. Mm-hmm. Hey, Mike, do you feel you've earned your keep? I mean, you've been working with Doc for several months, if not longer than that.
Yeah.
Several months.
Yeah.
So you were used to his presentation, his style, his eloquence, right? You've only been working with me for a couple of weeks now. Do you feel like you have earned your keep? Do you feel like you have proven that you belong?
Oh yeah. 100%. Doc's usually bullying me. I like how the way you put it, though. You know, his eloquence and all that stuff.
Doc,
I mean, that's the nice way to say it. But he's usually bullying me for being a Giants fan.
Right.
But
right.
The thing is, you know, as a Giants fan, you kind of, since 2011, you've kind of been bullying yourself. You know,
that is true.
And I chose to stick in there and fight it out.
That is true. I think you have earned your keep. Like I said, if you have to deal with Doc sometimes, he'll make you earn your way. You know, you got to be mentally tough. And that's what we ask out of our team members here at Odyssey DC and at Team 980 and occasionally over at 106.7 The Fan, although they have it much easier. We ask you to be mentally tough, right? Because in order to be mentally tough, or in order to be a champion, you have to be mentally tough. And speaking of champions and being mentally tough, I think that's what we learned a little bit about the Philadelphia Eagles. Doc, on Sunday and throughout the course of the year as they win the Super Bowl, and they not only win it, but they win it in blowout fashion. They only won by 18 points on Sunday night, but make no mistake about it, the Chiefs scored, what, 16 total points, 2 touchdowns and 2-point conversions in the last 2.5 minutes of the game when the game was well decided. It was not even that close, so let's not give the Chiefs any flowers here. They got absolutely bombarded by an Eagles team that ultimately was way better than the Commanders and pulled away in the fourth quarter. A little bit of a different style. They stepped on the gas pretty much from word one. But, Doc, one thing that I couldn't help but think, and I'm not the only one, obviously, watching that game, watching the NFC Championship game, although it was much more on display on Sunday, is something that you always talk about, something you always preach, so I want to make sure you get your flowers, is that the game is won and lost in the trenches. And clearly, you have the same philosophy, or I should say this. I think Howie Roseman may have stolen that philosophy from you, because that is how the Philadelphia Eagles were built. And I would imagine, I was not with you on Sunday night, I would imagine, even though you're a guy that has built his claim to fame here in Washington, won a Super Bowl, makes his home here, there was a certain amount of satisfaction, I would guess, from you knowing how dominant that Philadelphia Eagle team was on both sides of the trenches, or on both sides of the line of scrimmage and in the trenches.
Yeah, it was enjoyable. I kept thinking, I didn't give up on Kansas City because they earned this. They earned what they earned, and that was they don't die.
Yeah.
And they find a way. But it shows you what pressure does to people. And Andy, that group, Spagnuolo, they're the best. And yet, they were taken out, and it's like an alligator, and drinking out, and taken out into the lake, and drowned. And they were helpless, because they tried to do their thing, and they forgot how they got there. Andy's run guy, too. That's why I like Andy so much. Andy gets a reputation as being maybe a little more eccentric than he really is. They've always run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Andy's always dual. Andy's always balanced. They couldn't block. Their injuries caught up to them, and the left tackle got nicked or failed. They took a shot at the kid from BYU. Not everybody works.
Yeah,
it worked with the young kids that got in the secondary for Spagnuolo.
Mm-hmm.
That worked. And their bell cow was injured. See, I did not realize 95 was not 100%.
He was certainly not 100% early in that game. I don't know if he was. I don't know if he was banged up going into the game. I don't remember that.
See, I'm with you, but whatever happened, that's the thing about Beckham.
Yeah.
See, when you got to go bang against 350.
Yeah.
And this is what people felt when they had to deal with Jake and Mayday and those guys. When you, that extra 50 pounds, 60 mm-hmm. pounds coming at you over and over yep. and over, it
well,
pays.
Well, especially on the tush push, dividends. Too, right? I mean, you know.
Everything.
Which, yeah. I mean,
everything.
But that is the most direct impact, and that's where I first saw Chris Jones getting banged up. and like feeling kind of woozy with the neck and all that stuff was after the tush push touchdown by Jalen Hurts, which started the scoring after Jahan Dotson nearly scored for the Eagles. And of course, that was, I don't want to say a sight for sore eyes from Commanders fans. The Commanders fans were like burying their eyes. No, no, not this guy. Wait a second.
Why?
We gave him up for nothing.
Well, you got position. You got what you wanted.
Yeah.
You won without him. Your receivers, your secondary and third receivers did well.
Yes, yes.
Everybody, no, it worked for everybody.
I understand.
I mean, you can't.
You're right.
You can't cry.
No, no, no.
It worked out for you.
You know how it is, right? You don't want to see. You don't want to see guys that you gave up on, and they gave up on Jahan Dotson. They just did, and for good reason. They had good reason. You don't. Some people want to see those guys succeed. Some people don't want them to succeed because that makes the organization that gave up on them look bad. And in this case, maybe that was a little bit of both because Jahan Dotson never did anything to anyone around here. It just didn't work out.
Yeah,
he didn't fit in their system. But going back to what you were talking about, Andy Reid running the ball, I didn't realize it was this bad. I knew it was bad. I didn't realize it was this bad. They ran the ball 11 times. 11 times in the game. 11 times. And to me, when you have that kind of pass rush, especially when Fangio is releasing the dogs without releasing the dogs, meaning not blitzing at all, and when you can't slow them down, never mind stop them, to me, very, 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 very surprising that they didn't do more running, one, just to try and slow them down, and two, Doc, you said Andy has always been a running game guy, and that is true.
Yeah, he runs. He's balanced.
But Andy has always believed in the running back screen. Like, I don't remember a lot of true running back screens. Like, I could be missing one, but I was trying to rack my brain,
and I can't
remember a true natural running back screen that they threw in that game to try and stop or slow down the Eagles.
Everybody at some point has a bad moment, even the genius.
Yeah.
That was a bad moment collectively for their offense because when you haven't been put on your behind, I mean, when's the last time they've been punked?
Right.
See, you don't have a reference point.
Yeah.
They literally were overwhelmed in the first quarter.
How does that happen, Doc? You played.
It happens easily.
You played in this
You get
stage,
overwhelmed. You get
this.
Stopped. You're not used to being stopped.
Right.
So they didn't doubt themselves. I don't think they did anything wrong. They just got physically manhandled. And when you got a guard.
Doc, this happened 4 years ago in the Super Bowl in Tampa against the Buccaneers. Right.
Yeah, and what
that was
type
the last
of individual
time
did it?
That was probably the last time that we saw Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid look like a deer in the headlights. That was probably the last time. And that was in a more aggressive, blitz-happy, you know, I don't remember the exact numbers from that game, but Todd Bowles did not run every single snap without blitzing. This was different. This was a four-man rush. This was people getting whipped at the point of attack without extra men, without, you know, all sorts of bells and whistles. This was just getting manhandled. And I understand, Ken, you brought up a very key point. Left tackle. Joe Tooney's a really good left guard. He's not a really good left tackle.
Nope.
And that was similar to what happened in that Super Bowl against Bowles. If you think about it, they were missing their starting left tackle and their starting right tackle. They were playing backups at those positions. They didn't have Tooney. They didn't have Creed Humphrey. They didn't have Trey Smith. Yeah. They hadn't drafted them yet, and they got absolutely whooped at the point of attack.
You know, backups are not beating a group of badasses. Not in the Super Bowl. That ain't happening. So sometimes it's just bad luck on personnel. But when you look at guys that overpower, I guarantee there was a freak somewhere. And so, of course, Tampa. Every once in a while, it becomes a guy, whether it's too tall or Mean Joe Green, there's somebody that exceeds your scouting report. You can't dual block. You can't double him. He ain't moving. So this brings about a problem, because usually man-on-man, to me, you know, we've talked about this over the years. What creates value to me? Who's a bag man to me? It's anybody that requires double coverage. A lot of people say they're doubled. If you're really and truly doubled, you have a high value. If it takes two of my people to deal with you, you have an incredibly high value.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't hardly ever see that.
Mm.
For real. But you get paid like it, but you really don't produce that. And then Aaron Donald, that's why he was the baddest man I've seen in many, many years, because he was beating doubles.
Right. He could
for a living.
Doubles. I mean,
for
when,
a living.
When say like when Deron Payne gets doubled, he doesn't always destroy doubles. But
it doesn't mean it's not negative for him. He's human.
Yeah. No,
most people don't.
That's fair. That's fair.
But that dude in 95 in Cleveland?
Yeah.
He's different.
Well, he's different, no doubt. All right, we'll get to him and maybe some other options, including one from the Eagles, actually two from the Eagles, that I wanted to ask Doc about later on this hour. But I want to stay on this front page, if you will, from the Super Bowl as a fallout, and what the Commanders can do, what the Commanders can learn. And I want to specifically ask if there would be any interest in a big old guard. A big old guard bolstering the offensive line.
You mean like Mayday?
Line. Well, we'll ask that
you mean
next.
Like-
yes. We'll ask that next, and we'll get your thoughts on it as well at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. That conversation or that part of the conversation coming up straight ahead on the Team 980, always live and free on the Odyssey app.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, along with the DOC, AMAC back in our Half Street studios. It is starting to snow out here in Loudoun County, so be safe out there. If you have to drive, obviously, give yourself plenty of space time, and don't you dare drive like a maniac. Doc, before I get into the question that I wanted to set up and get your thoughts on as we kind of look at the Eagles and the Chiefs and how that can benefit or fit into what the Commanders are trying to do, AMAC sent me something that I did. It was a great job by him. I remember it a little bit differently, but maybe, again, I just, you know, 4 years now has passed. Remember I referenced the last time we saw the Chiefs get whipped at the point of attack was the Super Bowl against Todd Bowles and the Buccaneers at Raymond James Stadium in 2021, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. I thought the Bucs had blitzed more in that game. But according to Next Gen Stats in the column that AMAC found, appreciate him finding it and sending it and pointing it out, the Buccaneers only brought extra rushers on Patrick Mahomes on 5 of his 52 dropbacks, or 9.6%. So in this Super Bowl, we know Vic Fangio did not blitz at all, right? And yet they got 6 sacks. In that Super Bowl, according to Next Gen Stats, 5 of 52 dropbacks, or roughly, or, you know, just under 10%. So not as much as I thought from Todd Bowles, who historically blitzes a ton. But again, we're dealing with Patrick Mahomes, and we're also dealing with this, right? And this is what I think was missing when Ron Rivera and Jack Del Rio got here, and what I know the jokes are about to come. Like, they expected Jonathan Allen, Jerron Payne, Montez Sweat, and Chase Young to be able to regularly get home without blitzing. And maybe that was their fault for expecting it, but that's what they were expecting when you have that kind of investment in your defensive line. And it, of course, did not work out at all. So while we sing the praises of Howie Roseman for investing in their offensive line, their defensive line, and for just having a bunch of dogs, man, and basically ripping apart this Kansas City team and Andy Reid and the offensive line and Patrick Mahomes and so on and so forth, it's not so much the, hey, let's build a defensive line, let's draft defensive line guys. Obviously, we know there's another component to it, right? It's got to be the right guys. It's got to be the right guys, especially so that you don't have to blitz, so that you don't have to sell out, so that you don't have to send safeties and corners and linebackers and so on and so forth and expose your defense in other ways. And some teams do it, and some teams don't do it. And the Eagles and the Buccaneers 4 years ago were able to do it in one game isolation. But the biggest game of the year, and in general, I would say the Philadelphia Eagles, not that they don't blitz. They do. They blitzed Jaden Daniels, I think, 33% of the time in that Thursday night game, if memory serves me correct. They blitz, but they don't do it as a hallmark. They don't do it as a foundation. They don't do it as a thing normally because they have confidence in their guys, and B, they understand that if you have the kind of investment that they've made up front,
that you shouldn't have to sell your soul to the devil. You shouldn't have to blitz if those guys are doing their job.
Well, they just won one-on-one matchups.
Yeah.
And up and down the ruts, they're going to find one weak link, and they're going to beat you. And they won battles up front, and they win quickly. And for some reason, we feel indebted to give the MVPs to quarterbacks. But there are a lot of people that saw that the most valuable player in this game was the defensive lineman that they did not want to give that credit to.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think some of it is because they didn't recognize how good like Josh Sweat was. Like, I mean, Josh Sweat, what did he finish up with? Let me see here. It was officially, I think, 1.5 sacks. Let me see here. I'm just trying to pull it up here. No, actually, he was credited with 2.5 sacks. Okay, so 2.5 sacks. I think what it was they looked around and said, well, how do we give Josh Sweat the MVP but not Cooper DeJean and not Zach Bond and not, you know, and not Jalen Carter? So it was kind of like, oh, hey, let's give it to the quarterback who had himself a good game. There is no doubt about it, but he's also the quarterback. And that's a different argument for a different day. Here's the question that I wanted to ask you, though. Before we talk about Josh Sweat and Zach Bond and how the Commanders might be able to improve by hurting the Eagles, they could potentially improve in a different way. And it's a name that, you know, a lot of people aren't necessarily thinking of. But Mekhi Becton was a top 10 draft pick, and tackle of the New York Jets. And we know people go to die in New York when it comes to playing for the Jets, right? See Aaron Rodgers. But Mekhi Becton was a failure at tackle. And Howie Roseman brings him into Philadelphia, and they put him at right guard. And yes, he's protected by playing next to Lane Johnson and Cam Jurgens. But remember, Kelsey retired last year, and then Jurgens comes in, who was his backup and plays at a Pro Bowl level and is great. But Mekhi Becton reinvigorated his career. He's a free agent. He's a free agent. So now the question is, A, he's going to make a lot of money, I would think, somewhere. Probably not in Philadelphia is my guess, but B, would he be a good fit here in Washington? I want you to sit on that, and I want you to answer that.
We already did it with Scott. I mean, we did it here 40 years ago with Mark May. We've already been down. We've done that. Been there, done that. And what you're asking makes a lot of sense, but that's why we got Scott, who's a tackle, and that's why when he came in, he played well. He did the job because it's like putting an elephant in a phone booth.
I have a caveat, though, to that scenario that I was thinking of last night that I want to bounce off of you. So I'm glad you brought it up. I want to bounce it off of you, though, when we return, because there is a problem with that theory, and maybe more than theory, maybe reality, which I'll explain and get your thoughts on when we come back, and we'll start knocking down your calls at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. We have to do a trending alert here, and then we will get back at it on the other side, right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, it is official. The Philadelphia Eagles, yes, Super Bowl champions, but yes, going to be in the market for a fourth offensive coordinator in the last 4 years. Kellen Moore officially taking the New Orleans Saints head coaching position, the final head coaching position available. He is 36 years old, of course, just joined from the LA Chargers. Before that was with the Dallas Cowboys. The Eagles averaging 27.2 points per game in the regular season, and of course a monstrous postseason, 36.3. Some of that certainly helped out by the defense. Speaking of defense, former Los Angeles Chargers head coach Brandon Staley is expected to join Kellen Moore as the defensive coordinator in New Orleans. Of course, they were together in LA just a year ago. Meanwhile, speaking of L.A. last night, Luka Doncic, 14 points, 24 minutes in his debut. First time he was in uniform for the Lakers. First time he played in a game since Christmas Day. 132-113 win over the Utah Jazz for the Lake Show and LeBron James. Of course, they celebrated at Crypto.com Arena by distributing a whole bunch, almost 19,000 number 77 Laker jerseys to welcome in Luka Doncic. The Wizards with their third consecutive loss at home, third loss in four nights. Last night to Victor Wembanyama and the San Antonio Spurs. They try and get it back together tomorrow night at Capital One Arena against the Indiana Pacers, who are hosting the New York Knicks tonight. So they will play and travel, of course, on back-to-back nights. And finally, from baseball, the Los Angeles Angels striking an agreement with Kenley Jansen on a one-year, $10 million deal to become their closer. He's 37 years old, 447 career saves over his 15-year career. Had 27 saves with the Red Sox last year, and that's what's trending. All right, right back with you, along with the DOC. AMAC is with us as well. Be nice to him when you call in at 301-230-0980. And again, it is snowing pretty hard now out here in Loudoun County, so be safe and be careful as you're driving around on this Tuesday afternoon. DOC, you just brought up an interesting point as I wanted to steer the conversation towards Mekhi Becton. And before we get there, Trent Scott replaced Sam Cosmi when he tore his ACL late in the first half against Detroit in the playoff win. And by all accounts, and this is another area that you deserve credit for, because you were the only one that I can remember that was talking and hyping up and trying to say, hey, oh, wait a second, don't forget about Trent Scott. Don't forget about Trent Scott. And everybody kind of like, well, Trent Scott's not that good. He's fine, okay, whatever. And nobody's saying that he's going to play at a Pro Bowl level, but Trent Scott played pretty well, fairly well against certainly the Detroit Lions, and held his own in the NFC Championship game, even though, again, the Eagles' defensive line ate in that game as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you bring up an interesting point because, like for me, I thought, okay, that's a dude that's a backup tackle, a rotational tackle. Maybe one day he'll be basically what Cornelius Lucas is, and maybe this and maybe that. And now I have an interesting kind of dilemma if I'm Washington, right? Cornelius Lucas is a free agent. Trent Scott is under contract. Sam Cosmi, we don't know if he's going to be ready for week one or not. We just have no idea. I don't know if they know. I think Nick Gallegretti was okay. They need an upgrade, in my opinion, at depth, somebody who could probably play tackle and guard, which is Trent Scott now. We found that out, right? But the question is, because Cornelius Lucas is a free agent, does Trent Scott essentially become his replacement, if you will? And then do they need somebody else? Or can you say, well, wait a second, Trent Scott can play right guard, he can play right tackle, he can play a little left tackle. We've seen him play as a sixth offensive lineman. That's how he scored that touchdown on the Monday night game in Cincinnati. Like, he can do three or four different positions. We can afford to either bring Cornelius Lucas back or not bring him back, right? And, again, I don't know what he'd be looking for. But we have Brandon Coleman, we have Andrew Wiley, we have Trent Scott, and again, let's just say they decide to bring back Cornelius Lucas. Now you've got four guys that can play tackle, one, and you found out that Trent Scott could probably be adequate at least, if not above adequate, at guard if you need to start him at guard in week one, week two, whatever, in case Sam Cosmi is not ready. So does that eliminate the need to really bolster either one of those positions because of what you found out about Trent Scott?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good argument for it. I have a great deal of respect for all of their offensive linemen that have the ability to play right and left. They have nothing in common. I think that I don't expect the average fan to appreciate their talents, because you got to be in this game quite a long time to really appreciate this. They say Lucas ain't this. I tell you what he is. There's a handful of guys that can play right and left at a high level in this league. He's that kind of guy. He can save you a roster spot. When you prove you can go inside and out, that's invaluable. Then does a guy have the football IQ to be able to do it? Yeah, all of them have shown to do that. They passed the work ethic deal because otherwise they wouldn't be on their team. So people call them backups. I think of you as a reserve and as a highly skilled reserve that's able to come in and play everything but center. And maybe they could hike as well. I always remember the value of Werrell Grant. And Darryl Grant started, he could play guard, center, snap on PATs, and play at a Pro Bowl level at defensive tackle. That guy saves you two or three roster spots.
Yeah.
And he's a dog. See, the other thing about it is that out of everything we say, to me, is he a dog? Yes. You can check that box. That means now I can travel. I can take him to Philly with me. See, I don't need anybody on my roster now that I can't play at Philly.
Right.
Now that I know who's the leader of the pack in the division, I got to go through Philadelphia now to get to where I want to go. So if I can't take you with me to Philly, I don't need you on my team. And that's what DQ, they know that. So that's why I just giggle, because I go, these dudes know what it takes to be a part of their brotherhood.
Yeah.
And the guys they pick them for a reason that we can't comprehend. Now you know what you got to do to block. Can you block Philly and Dallas and New York? Because everybody in our division is loaded on the D-lines. So how can you even contemplate coming up light on your offensive line? I just laugh. People, wide receiver, you better load up. You in the NFC East.
Yep.
Home of Beast.
But
and if you want to get in this thing and play for three times, which they did last year, you know, you can talk all that wide receiver crack you want and go chase after the Niners and do all of this. And I'm not mad at the fantasy world. If I was playing fantasy, I'd want them too.
Yeah.
But I can't win a Super Bowl in fantasy.
I would agree with all of this, okay? And I think I know the answer that you're going to give me is, should they resign Cornelius Lucas? Yes, right? I think we both agree with that, yes? Don't have to waste any time on that?
No, right? Hell yes.
I know Trent Scott, obviously, again, proved his mettle, can play tackle, can now, we know, can short-term play guard, if not longer-term play guard. I don't know what Chris Paul is at this point yet. I know that Michael Dieter is a free agent as well, and you bet damn well better have somebody that can snap and be a backup center, and he was okay. I wouldn't say he was great, but he was okay. So I would like them to bring him back. But at some point, I also need to improve. I need to not just have guys that can play and guys that I know. I need to get better, and I need to get more depth. I don't know if Mekhi Becton is the right answer. I think he's probably going to cost too much money for what you are ideally looking for. You're not looking for a long-term starter, unless we're talking about a long-term starter at left guard, so that Allegretti can go back to being a top backup, right? And that's the only question. I think at this point, I don't see them spending a lot of money on trying to improve on Brandon Coleman. I think they hope that Brandon Coleman, who certainly proved that in certain games, he can be like lights out is probably the wrong thing, but very steady and very good. I think it was the Tampa Bay playoff game where he didn't allow a single pressure, if not mistaken. But yet they need to get better, but they also don't need a dramatic improvement. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it depends on how you evaluate it. I mean, that's, to me, it's going to be up to their offensive line staff. They're going to figure it out. I'm not evaluating them. Because if I get a back, and if I get them out of the shotgun, hell, all kind of opportunities can open up. So I'm not going to evaluate them in the gun, running with guys that don't slam it up in there with reckless abandonment. A guy's trying to bounce, a guy's trying to trick and be cute. I don't need none of that. I need a sludge hammer. And when I get to run the kind of guy in there that I need, then I can evaluate them. That's a different program. I guess they're doing exactly what they're being asked to do. All I know is that it's not going to beat Philadelphia. And if it's not going to beat Philly, then what the hell are you doing it for?
Yeah.
Because now you already know who the keeper or the guard at gate is. They own it. We got to get to where we want to go. We got to go through them.
Well, if they're the keeper of the guard gate, are they good enough on the offensive line with what we just presented to be better than them?
Well, you'll be better next year because, again, you get your all-pro back. He'll be healed. But you don't know if he'll be healed for that game.
Yeah.
See, what we talk about in the offseason has so little relevance to me personally because we don't even know who the hell's going to be healthy on game day when That's they fair. Match up. Well, we don't know that.
And we don't know when they're going to play the Eagles, too, right?
Everybody
they might open
your
the season in Philadelphia
has got to be built to beat the champ.
Yeah. But, well,
if you don't want to believe it, then don't believe it. But just watch because your ass will be home from now on.
So my question is I don't think right now, as currently constituted, they are absolutely built to beat the Eagles. I think that's pretty clear. Are they built to be competitive with the Eagles? Yes. So that means they have to improve. Like if they play week one, the Thursday night opener against the Eagles in Philadelphia, which is a possibility, although I don't think it's as likely as some others do. And Sam Cosmi's either just coming back or not right. You know, they could get exposed and they could get just browbeat at the point of attack. Now, we don't know whether the Eagles are going to have Josh Sweat. We don't know if they're going to be healthy. We don't know if they're going to have Milton Williams. We don't know if Zach Bond's going to be there. We have no idea about these things. But
it don't matter
comes
because
one,
you can talk yourself into anything you want to talk yourself into, Chris.
Yeah.
If you want to say we played them the best and didn't beat them and make yourself feel good, go right ahead. All I know is that you didn't beat them. You didn't win the game.
That is true.
Now, you threw up all over yourself. Now, we won't know because if you turn it over four or five times, come on, Slim. That's ridiculous. But if I don't turn it over, I do believe we presented a better challenge. In my mind, I believe this. Than anybody I saw playing.
I agree with that. That's what some of what I said.
That's what I'm saying.
Yesterday, yeah.
But you're not going to get there in the gun,
right?
With Eckler.
Well, but that's a whole different part. If it truly starts up front, are you going to get there with what they have up front as currently constituted? Even if those guys.
Well, no. The reason because of JD5,
yeah,
they can hocus pocus it with him.
Well, yeah.
All I'm saying is that long term.
Yeah.
We have got to patch up a couple of holes in the roster.
Right.
But it ain't a lot.
I don't think it's Mekhi Becton, but I think they need more depth, and I think they need more help there because I have questions not only about Cosmi and his health, but also, like, you can make reasonable questions and reasonable arguments that they can bolster both tackle positions, both guard positions, not, again, when Cosme's normal, but we don't know when that's going to be. And what do they do, and how do they get better at the point of attack? Because there was clear evidence in the second half of the season that at times, as those guys wore down and as those guys were banged up, and a lot of it came from Biadasz, but not just Biadasz, that they were not good enough to handle some of the defensive line attacks, and not only in Philadelphia, but also around the NFL. All right, the DOC is with us.
Your whole running game, dude, you got to rethink what you're doing.
I understand.
The way you're doing it, that dog ain't going to hunt.
The running game, though, I think is also a byproduct of getting whipped up front, right? I mean, you need to improve the running game, but if you improve the offensive line, you can maybe get away with what you currently have as a crop, Robinson, Eckler. You'd have to bring back McNichols. He's a free agent. Or Chris Rodriguez. We can talk about that as we go along. All right, we're going to take a timeout. We're going to slip in your calls. I know. I promise you, get to you. We're just kind of started this conversation. Okay, improving the offensive line. Mekhi Becton is out there. He's not the only one. I got a bunch of other names for you, but he just won a Super Bowl. He's a big mammoth physical presence. Do you go for somebody like that or him? to improve this offensive line? Are you good with re-signing again who they have to re-sign, Cornelius Lucas, Michael Dieter, and maybe drafting somebody as opposed to spending big money to bolster the offensive line? 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, wrapping up hour number one with the DOC. Let's go and grab a quick call here before the top of the hour, and then we will get everybody else involved after the 2 o'clock hour as we talk about Mekhi Becton and the idea of bolstering the offensive line because, A, that's what wins football games. I think we found that out with the Philadelphia Eagles. I think we knew that, but it's just reinforced. And I also think, you know, we have slightly different views, if you will, on the quality of depth with the Washington Commanders and what they can do. I don't expect them to make a big, big, big splash. I would be surprised by that at either tackle or guard, but the possibilities do exist if you get the right fit, the right person, the right situation, because I think it's pretty clear not only the Eagles, but other teams have bolstered their defensive line and their pass rush, duh. And if you can't hold up at the point of attack, it doesn't matter who you have at quarterback, it doesn't matter who you have at running back, and so on and so forth. Let's get to line three, Marcus and Brandywine, to begin the caller portion of the radio program here on a Tuesday on the Team 980. What's up, Marcus? How are you?
What's up, man? I'm pretty good. How are you?
Good, Marcus. What's going on?
Good. I got two talking points real quick. The first one was kind of in regards to what you guys were discussing earlier, and this is a problem that I've kind of had for a while, honestly, and it's in regards to drafting or draft evaluations and things of that nature. Like, you know, you get guys that are in college, and specifically to the Chase Young, Montez Sweat, Deron Payne, Jonathan Allen, right? You have this defensive line, and you know, you draft Chase Young, you draft Montez Sweat, and you draft them based off what they did in college. And my issue is, the negative feedback a lot of the GMs and the coaches get when these guys don't pan out. And it's like, well, you don't know how well they'll perform in the pros. So everybody is really a swing, you know, and you know, the guys are drafted, you know, Chase Young and Montez Sweat, you know, you draft them and then they're like, oh, they're a bust. What are you guys thinking? But, you know, you swing and you get a hit on a fourth rounder and like, oh, these guys are geniuses. When to me, it's like, how can you really be a genius or not a genius by drafting someone based off of college? Like, you'll never know how they'll turn out. So
yeah.
I've always had a problem with that, and that's why I lean towards building in free agency, because you have these guys that have been in the league that are proven to go ahead and head up with these other pros, and you draft guys, and I would say out of the draft picks, maybe 40% of the draft picks are what they were in college, mm-hmm. and the other 60%, you know, you get fans, you get journalists, you get everybody pretty much bashing these front offices for drafting them. It's like, well, they have pretty good takes, so why would I think that when they got to the league, they would just be bust? So,
you know, it's a good dilemma, Marcus, and appreciate you as always. Doc, a quick thought on that, right? Everybody says you got to build through the draft and supplement through free agency, but Marcus's point is you don't know what they're going to be like in the pros going from college because it's a big step up. You don't know necessarily system to system, team to team in the NFL, but at least you have some idea whether a guy can play at this level if you sign him as a free agent, because he's already established that he can play at this level.
Yeah, then it comes down to your scheme and who your coach is and what mm-hmm. you want. To me, this is pretty plain and simple. Philly is where they are, the Giants and Cowboys, and you know who you have to block. And you know how they operate. So you got to go get them. And they might already be on the other team. That's why I like the guys that are already on from Philadelphia, because iron sharpens iron. I want the guy who is a sparring partner in practice, knows him better than anybody else.
It helps when you get to go against those guys every day, no doubt about it.
Yeah,
good question,
and we've already got coaches. You already have intel because you took their offensive coordinator a year ago.
That's true.
So
That's true. Good point from Marcus, though. And it's always one of those dilemmas, those fascinating dilemmas that we hear about so often. Again, when you say, well, we're going to build through the draft, which most teams abide by. And it is a fair, fair point. All right, more of your calls coming up after 2 o'clock. Stay with us right here on the Team 980, always live and free on the Odyssey app.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.